All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we wind up the doctrine of the church with some additional observations here. Roman numeral 7, page 11 of our notes. In terms of the decorum of the main assembly. Women are to remain silent in the church, in the local church, as a matter of protocol and witness. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. That the women keep silent in the churches, Paul's instructions to the church of Corinth, for they are not permitted to speak. This is in the view of adults in regards to the assembly. But let them subject themselves, just as the law also says in verse 35, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. Obviously, if they're married, you don't have anybody to ask, well, then go get your husband. No. And then if you've got a question for the pastor, that's fine. For it is improper for a woman to speak in church. We'll just have a woman pastor. That's what we'll do. Well, that's just Paul's idea. I've heard so many of the different attacks on this. You know? God must be in agreement with it because it made it into the scriptures. So, obviously, this is not how society projects women in terms of their place among society and crowds. The Bible quietly is starkly different. B, those believers that can financially care for dependent widows of their household should do so to avoid further financial burden upon the church. 1 Timothy 5:16. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them, and let not the church be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. A relationship of which one is financially able to help out in situations like that within their own immediate periphery of relationships should step in, step up, and make applications. So, see, each believer shares in the sufferings of Christ, which is fulfilled in the universal body. Colossians 1:24, which we will address here for too long. As Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and in my flesh. I do my share on behalf of his body, Paul, an apostle, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Christ's time of suffering in the incarnation has transcended to his glorified state. We get to pick up the slack. That's our position. This whole idea that is often floated by preachers, etc., that if everything is going right for you spiritually, then you shouldn't have any issues and problems and sufferings in life. What a bunch of hogwash. Nothing but false teaching that keeps believers off balance. Things of that nature. Now, we all suffer one of two ways, either undeserved suffering because we stand up for the truth of doctrine and we're innocent otherwise, or deserve suffering because we of our own malfeasance, of our own STAs. So the universal church will be presented corporately before Christ in all its perfection at the Bema ceremony. Ephesians 5:27. Here Christ is likened as a husband over the wife, the church being the bride, and he draws off the parallels of husbands and wives in terms of positions of authority, responsibilities, etc. In terms for the husband, the sacrifice needed to sustain, maintain the right woman spiritually and otherwise. But for Christ on his part, his sacrifice was such degree is for the preparation of the church so that, verse 27, he might present to himself the church in all her glory. And that is to the glorified resurrection body, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That obviously is made possible through positional truth, and then there will be examples of those experientially without censure. But that she should be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless, emphasizing the positional aspect of the believer being without condemnation. So he did all the work. All we have to do is line up and utilize it for our own exercise and application of living the Christian life. Each local church will be graded according to their adjustment or maladjustment to Bible doctrine by Christ, as seen in seven churches of Revelation, as we've read those chapters, Revelation 2 and 3. We will stand as a unit, as an assembly, at the Bema, of our own local church status, and we'll be critiqued in regards to what we did with God's Word in our period of time that we're together as right shepherd, right congregation, etc. Then to close out the doctrine, 1 Timothy 3:15, but in case I am delayed, I write so, Paul to Timothy, so that you may, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. All right, our next doctrine is the doctrine of resurrection. We're going to review it before we move.